Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Everybody from Backpage, I'm Neil White, and you're listening to The Big Interview with Graham Hunter. This is part two of our end of year Oscars show for 2021. Part one is the next episode up on the feed. You've already missed Best Performer in a Leading Role, Best Performer in a Supporting Role, Most Promising Newcomer, Best Director, and Best Producer. I'm not going to spoil the surprises if you haven't already heard them, but our next statuette, handed out by Graham Hunter, the host of The Big Interview, and La Liga Television's Pete Jensen, will be Best Picture, which quite literally refers to our favourite football photograph or film from the past 12 months. So we'll share a few of these on social media, because I understand that it's quite difficult to deal with the still image on a podcast. Our sponsors at Bet365 have nominated a great shot by Justin Tallis of AFP from the round of 16 game between England and Germany from the Euros. So it's a celebration shot of Harry Kane running in front of one of those great wide crowd shots, which you can spend about 2 hours looking into and picking out your favourite sociological experiment. Jake Garlick has picked one of the, I think it was actually a screen grab of Luis Suarez crying on the phone in the sort of delayed aftermath of Atleti's title win. And socio Ian Arnott has chosen a fantastic still shot of Issa Diop's goal line clearance for West Ham against Arsenal, which is fantastically acrobatic. And in the background, you can see, I think it's Lacazette, who obviously can't believe, I think he's ready to celebrate the goal he believes he just scored as Diop sort of picks his pocket at the last minute. Graham, you've usually got a great eye for this sort of thing. Which picture stayed with you this year?
I can't believe you've Muralithened me and done me with your Sri Lankan spin there. I mean, that's the kind of setup that can now only, listeners, Neil has just tried to emulate the great Sri Lankan spinner who must be one of the two top wicket takers of all time if you don't follow baseball. I've chosen a winner, but I want to do another Carl Malden, and I want to say could have been a contender. And what's happening is, Neil, Zoom is stopping us. It's blurring out the background. And so therefore, I'll send you this photo so that the socios and sponsors kind of take a looky-looky at it. But effectively, it's the front page of Marca in mid-September. And Real Madrid have been out of their ground, not only because of the pandemic and the shutdown and playing at the training ground, but at Valdebebas next to the airport, because of what's been going on in the world, but because they've been remodelling the Bernabeu. And it's been a long time away, I think over a year, and they come back to playing Celta. It's an extraordinary game. They are in danger of losing. They've conceded two Two really good goals from Celta's point of view, but poor defending from Madrid's point of view. And at 2-2, up pops Vinicius with the goal. And there's such an explosion of noise and joy that he loses himself completely. It's very early in this massive spurt in delivery that the Brazilian has given us. And he loses himself and goes running and jumps over a barrier and goes into the crowd. And he's mobbed. He's mobbed by delirious Madrid fans. And the thing that it symbolises to me is pretty obvious. It's the reunification of the Madrid support and this slightly maverick, slightly, not undelivering, but precocious and idiosyncratic guy. It's the beginning of the crowd saying, yeah, we love you. Yeah, we recognise how good you are. He's being grasped and classed at all sides. There's one guy without a mask. He allegedly gets fined the next day when the cops say, well, we saw you in the crowd with your mask down about your chin instead of your mouth and nose. That doesn't signify total abandonment of you know, this human spirit saying, I don't care about health and I don't care about rules. But it's close to it. Everybody's got arms akimbo. Vinicius is just looking down as if to say, these guys really love me. Terrific goal, terrific moment, great shot. It featured in many places, but Marca on the front page did it best.
Brilliant. We'll share that one with you as well, guys. So all this will be on the socials at GH Podcast on Twitter is the easiest place to find it. Pete, was there a particular shot that grabbed your attention?
My favourite picture from 2021 was probably Emmanuel Iguacil, decked out as the fan that he is of Real Sociedad after they won the Copa del Rey. It just summed up perfectly what it meant to him, what it meant to the club. And despite recent results, because I think maybe even in the last podcast that we did together, we were talking about their potential as a possible in the mix for the league, for the title, and they've fallen apart since then. But regardless of all that, they're going in the right direction. And part of the reason for that is who's at the helm. And just brilliant with the blue and white shirt on and the blue and white scarf above his head. And just so happy for what he'd achieved.
Which takes us on to another visual category, the best costume design, which goes to the best football kit currently in use. So our nominations included from Bet365, our sponsors, the Atletico Mineiro map kit, which I was unaware of and is absolutely sensational. And from the socios, the one that stuck out was the Ajax third kit. I don't know if you're aware of this one, gentlemen, but it's all black with Karma Chameleon trim, red, gold, and green. So I don't know if either of you has a favourite football kit, perhaps, from the current season. But Pete, which one have you chosen?
Well, I was going to pick out Villarreal's, and it's not different this year to what it was last year, or the year before that, or the year before that, or the year before that, or the year before that. But that's partly the point. I'm sick of seeing teams run out in their second kit, third kit, fourth kit when there's not even a colour clash. And I spoke to Fernando Rodge Jr. Before the Europa League final, and I asked him about it, and he said, "Well, you know, it's something that is very deliberate. You know, we could push our. They have got other kits. They've got a second and third kit. We could push them more. We could wear them more. We could sell more of them by doing that. But we see this as our identity, and I've always had a bit of a penchant for one colour kits. Anyway, I can remember having a conversation with my dad, who's on Sports Night tonight. Real Madrid, it's a team in Spain and they play all in white, and just thinking, oh, they play all in white. And I think isn't there a club in Scotland that play all in red? I can't think of, but anyway, so I'm a fan of the all yellow kit, and it was great to see the it made the team celebration when they finally won a trophy. And Graham's already, oh, I was about to spoil the enjoyment of the first part of this by saying who Graham had picked out earlier for, I can't even remember the category. But anyway, in summary, Villarreal's all yellow kit. And yes, it's the same as last year.
That category was best team to play in all yellow, was the category that you're referring to. And you've also foreshadowed, Neil, you know this, what was going to come for me, because You know, good luck, Monero. Good luck. Is it Betis who said we won't raise the prices of the kit, or we won't introduce a new kit because people have to spend too much, and therefore we're sticking with this kit for next year? Pete, you nailed it. You know, the Mighty Dandies haven't featured much in this award ceremony. They do now. This is the training kit award. Neil, I've sent you a picture of the Mighty Scott Brown, who, I mean, kudos to him for working undercover for Celtic for so many years, and dulling the ache of having to, put on green and white. And here he is if you look at, which probably people do daily, look at the Aberdeen website, he's got that Man of Destiny look, sitting on one of the yellow steps in the main stand, and the fucking training kit. I mean, this should be a triple X. It's just pornographically good. The three Adidas stripes down the arm, a slight white trim at the roll neck of the training top, which is a kind of like a tracky top. It's the most beautiful piece of... It makes Brazil's 1970 World Cup winning kit look like Albert Steptoe. That's how beautiful it is. And above anything else, it's got the... and few people know about this. It's got the two stars right above the club crest.
Unfamiliar. What do they represent?
Well, they signify... It's funny you mention it. They signify that Aberdeen are the only club in Scotland to have won two European trophies. That's what those two stars represent, folks. And have Atletico Mineiro ever been in the Cup Winners' Cup final in Gothenburg?
I found another one, by the way, just for all those people who are saying he's picked the Villarreal kit. And it's the Nothing Else shirt. It's the new Nothing Else shirt. That's pretty sexy.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah? Pete's holding it up to the screen. I'm sorry you can't join in with us, listeners, but we'll put as many of these as we can up on the socials. So we're going to take a quick break and come back with our final three awards of this year's Oscars. Back soon.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
And we're back with the big interview with Graham Hunter, Oscar for the Best Original Screenplay, which we are opening up to your favourite piece of football writing from 2021. There's also a nomination for Pat Nevin's most recent book, which is called The Accidental Footballer. That was Finlay McDonald who sent that one in. Thank you very much, Finlay. Pete Jensen, what have you enjoyed reading this year?
I've cheated, and it's something I enjoyed watching. But it's a good recommend for everyone listening. There's a series on Netflix called Bad Sport, and it's basically about not really crime in sport, but well, yeah, it is crime in sport. And there's one episode which is all about Calciopoli. Am I pronouncing that right, Graham? So the Luciano Moggi years, and ringing up the referees organisation and just making sure you got the right whistler for Sunday's game, and it's absolutely brilliantly done. In parts, reminded me of the fantastic take the ball, pass the ball, and I thoroughly recommend it.
Well, that's a good recommendation that I'll pick up on and watch, because the way that life is, Neil, and partly you and Martin are to blame for this, with all these flights to interviews with interesting people, I don't take a lot of time to watch football documentaries, and I don't read as many books as I'd like to, but I like to call a dead heat in the book department. Pat's book is really startlingly good. Not because he's bright and articulate, because we knew that. He remains one of the standout big interviews. It's a book that where he doesn't pull any punches. It's a book which helped fuel my conversation with Brian McClare about their battle with Dalglish and Hansen at a team get-together for Scotland. The Pat and Jockey's first ever get-together, and how Hansen stomped off in half because he'd been out-argued by these two obstreperous kids. Pat's book's really well written, but it goes to the areas of football you want to hear about. There's no gloss, nothing spare about it. It's tied with the book that I'm only halfway through at the moment. Neil, you took Jamie Carragher on a voyage of discovery to, I think, Milan to see Arrigo Sacchi. To Bologna, same to you. But his book about the Invincibles, about the Nerazzurri and how AC Milan were under him before, the team that I think got taken to be more relentless, maybe more ruthless under Capello, the rebirth of a side that, you know, Pete's gone to Mudgy under Berlusconi, who picked them up, people forget, in a lower division, rebuilt them. And Arrigo Sacchi, this underknown man at that stage who'd been a shoe salesman and had nicked into Liverpool's training ground in order to watch, I think, Shankly and Paisley's Liverpool train in order to take their ideas and use them to AC Milan. It's a fabulous book. And the winner for me needs to be, and not because of my minor participation in it, although I think Pete's in it too, is El Presidente, the series on DAZN, which Zoom put together following Ronaldo Nazario's couple of years at that stage, presidency of Valladolid, their ability to escape relegation in their first season, an immediate match-fixing investigation that hauled in, unnecessarily it turned out, a couple of their players, the way in which Ronaldo's personality absolutely oozes out. He's magnetic, he's a remarkable man. And their ability to cope with the pandemic and the shutdown and coming back from that, it's really under the skin. It again, there's no gloss there. And it recently won second prize, a silver medal in an awards ceremony, which I was really, really pleased to see. But it's a good piece of viewing. And partly because everybody's fascinated about the way a club works when they're buying and they're selling. And, you know, we see the scouting and buying team, which subsequently has been released, has been dumped, thanks to Valladolid's relegation to the Segunda, and you watch them in action, you see them planning and hoping and praying and greeting signings. It's just damn good. But the star of the show, by a long, long way, is Ronaldo Nazario, and therefore he and Duncan McMath get this.
And maybe a good shout for the 2022 Best Picture. I think the same company are planning something about Ronaldo the player. So I'm sure when that comes out, it'll be every bit as good.
It's coming your way, folks. It's just when you thought it was safe to go back in the cinema.
For the Best Original Song category, we have had one outstanding nomination from Sergio Inanna, which I'm going to play now, and it's up to you guys to see if you've got something that can beat this.
Well, they've started singing at Vallecas, El Año Que Viene Rayo Liverpool, El Año Que Viene Rayo Liverpool, which of course means next year it'll be Rayo against Liverpool. And it's a brilliant chant. It doesn't quite top my all-time favourite, which was the cop when a cat ran on the pitch singing, a cat. But it's... it's up there. So here's to Rayo against Liverpool next season in the Champions League.
Well, it's funny, Neil, and it should be worrying for Pete about how similar his mind and my mind are. That genuinely should frighten you and Chicharita, Pete. But I'm going for Rayo too, and I'm going to play this chant that I got Radamel Falcao to record for us, and then I'll explain it. You ready, everybody? Here we come.
En segunda vez. allá donde estés, yo te seguiré. Fuerza Rayo Ale, yo no te abandoné. En segunda B, allá donde estés, yo te seguiré. Fuerza Rayo Ale.
And when you get the whole of Vallecas singing, I didn't abandon you when you were in the third division. Wherever you go, I'll be there with you. Blah, 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 blah. Forza Rayo. And it's all...
That's Radamel Falcao singing it.
That's Radamel Falcao singing it. So thank you, Radamel. And that was the Rayo fans singing. We didn't abandon you in the third. We're with you now. We'll go wherever, ever you go. Forza Rayo, we love you. Brilliant.
Our penultimate statuette goes for the best short, which is our favourite goal of the year, or even our just favourite moment of play. We've had some nominations, they're sensational. One is quite painful. Here we go.
Jack Hendry tries again, but it could be costly because it's the Czech Republic on the break. And Patrick Sheik has scored again.
You have to just admire the vision, the skill to pull it off. An absolutely magnificent goal.
And from the same basket of goals, marked rakers from the halfway line, this from Finlay McDonald.
Kemar Roofalu using his power to get the ball well away from Alan McGregor, and he has a long-range potted goal!
It's
and
a goal!
He scores! Absolutely sensational! Back in Belgium, when he played for Anderlecht, he produces a moment of magic right at the end to loft the ball over Bodar and clinch a winning start for Rangers in Group D. What about this?
So the, you know, the goal that's causing you so much pain there, Neil, felt a little bit like a fluke, but it turns out that it wasn't, because Schick has been averaging very nearly a goal a game in the Bundesliga since. He is an odd fella in that I think he was in Italy where, you know, it happened and it didn't happen. He looked like a hot and cold striker. Now he looks just pure hot. And what was it, Neil, help me, was it Davy Marshall in goal that day? I think it was Marshall. And I think we As a coaching staff, they'd asked him to be attentive. He's old now, and athletically, he's not somebody who can make a 40-metre sprint, maybe as he could have done 10 years ago. And therefore, I think he was asked to be advanced, that if we have a high line, and remember, Schick's mob, before they, yeah, we have to do it before they put us, it's a great series, but they put us up Schick's Creek. He should go back to the hotel, wherever that is in Canada. The fact of it is that Marshall's not wrong. Schick's just excellent. And poor old Marsh ends up tangled in the net, and we end up a little bit humiliated. But it's an unbelievably clever and technically well-executed goal. And the contender that I want to give to it, and because I'm, you know, so fixated on La Liga, is the goal that Vinicius scores to prevent Real Madrid losing at Levante, where they've been ahead. Levante have been utterly stinking the house out, atrocious, rotten fish bad in the first half. They then fight back in a glorious start of the second half. They're leading 3-2. And again, like my picture nomination for Vinicius, this is a moment where Vinicius does something utterly extraordinary, which is he receives a pass from Benzema, who a few months earlier in Mönchengladbach is saying to Mondi, don't see that guy, see that guy over there? Yeah, he's actually in our team. Don't give the ball to him, though. He's playing for the Germans. It's incredible. I know, Mondi. I didn't sign him. And then Benzema sees Vinicius flitting by him in Valencia a couple months later, slips the ball inside, gives it to Vinicius in a situation where Benzema can only believe he's giving it to the winger so the cutback will come back to him, and it doesn't. He gets to the point where there is no angle, and he uses the top of his right boot to sort of flick, not kick the ball, flick the ball across the goalkeeper into the invisible top far corner in a goal that gives them a 3-3 draw that sparks the stranglehold that Real Madrid have taken on La Liga. It's an unbelievable, unbelievable goal.
You know the day will come when Vinicius will be stood in the mouth of a tunnel at the start of the second half and he'll say in Portuguese to Rodrigo, don't give it to him. He's playing for them. But that's the circle of life, isn't it? It'll be perfect. I've gone for Luis Suarez's goal. I mean, at the end of last season against Valladolid, an ugly goal, no comparison in terms of aesthetics to the goals picked by Graham and your Socios. But if we'd said at the start of last season that this fella is going to... He was inside the centre circle when the ball is played over the top by Sergio Guardiola, helpfully. And if you'd said at the start of the season he's going to score 21 goals and the last of those will be to win the league title for Atletico Madrid and he's going to do it practically running from the halfway line, you would have said, get away from here, come on. And that's exactly what happened, and that's why we love football.
Just before we get away from goals of the season, I will play this, which is a goal that I wasn't familiar with before we asked our socios for nominations. This one came from our sponsors at Bet365, and keen-eared listeners may be able to glean the name of the goal scorer from this.
Pressure upon pressure! Misaka Asante! Misaka Bade! Misaka Asante! 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 Misaka Asante! Watch your man over! Misaka Asante! Hey, Borike!
Brings us to our final award in these 2021 Oscars, which is our Lifetime Achievement Award, which we aim at footballers who bowed out in 2021, who we won't see on the pitch again. So our nominations include Artiz Adrih, Arjen Robben, and unfortunately we're not going to see Kun Aguero again. I don't know who you'll miss most from 2021. Pete, do you want to kick us off?
Yeah, Aguero, it's a shame it's ended this way. And as we're recording this, he's going to give a press conference tomorrow, I think. It's now confirmed that he's not going to play again. A couple came to my attention this week, actually. El Fabuloso, Luis Fabiano, has hung up his boots. Always loved watching him play for Sevilla. He was always the bad cop to Canute's good cop, and they were sensational together for Sevilla. And he stopped playing. And another one who's stopped playing in the last couple of months is Jonas Gutierrez, who former Newcastle, of course, Mallorca, was diagnosed with testicular cancer, successfully treated for it, came back and played. Played a little bit more in Spain with Depor, went to play in Argentina for Defensa y Justicia, which I always thought were two different teams until someone put me straight. He was great fun to watch, Jonas Gutierrez. We all love a galloping winger. So there are two that have have stopped playing this season. I mean, you almost feel you should give it to one guy who hasn't retired, who said, you know what, I don't want to retire in a season when there are no fans. I want to play, and if I play out, I want to play out in front of the people. And we know who that is, of course, Joaquin, who's might even end up in the Champions League the way things are going at Betis.
What was his name, Jonas? His nickname, Pete? Was it El Galgo?
El Galgo, yeah, the Greyhound, yeah.
The Greyhound. Well, I'm the category buster because I don't accept your terms and conditions. I didn't tick the box. This isn't a category for those what have retired. This is a category for those what we're not seeing no more after 2021, and that's Leo Messi. Yeah, he's kicking around in some, you know, I don't know what you want to call it, you know, locally formed athletic club, Corinthian-style conurbation up in northern France. Good luck to him in Paris Saint-Germain. Good luck to Pochettino in trying to get the best out of a guy whose family is not particularly happy in the grey and the cold of a city where they don't speak the language. Never mind how he's performing. He's not in La Liga anymore. And rather than any more eulogies about how he plays or his achievements or whether he merited that seventh Ballon d'Or, The fact is that for you two recording this and editing this, for all the socios, for our sponsors, Bet365, but I think for particularly for Pete and I, who I think you can use the phrase we're touched by greatness, because we were given an entree, a card into trying to understand him, trying to match his exploits with our words or how we wrote. He made us rethink covering football. He made us rethink how it is you try and get time with him. He made us relearn our understanding of accents, because initially his Argentinian accent was impenetrable. It's been a joy. It's been Peter Beardsley. Well, on which subject, it wasn't Leo Messi who was one of the three or four sober players, sober enough to turn up for the World in Motion recording. And he didn't get to do the rap, John Barnes did, but everybody had to test out for the rap in World in Motion. And Peter's very kindly shared, there's a tape still exists of Peter's version of the rap. And John Barnes was probably just about the right choice. But can you imagine Leo Messi doing the You Got to Give It? The long and short is that I don't care that he's not playing for Barcelona anymore. I just wish he'd gone to Elche or maybe Malaga, or I don't give two flying Basil Brushes which team. I wish he was still in Spain. I wish we were still seeing him every week. He has literally been like being taught to paint by Da Vinci, and I miss him. So he gets that statuette from me, at least.
Okay, on that sad note, as you know, these in memoriam sections should be, our carriage is drawn near and we reach the end of our Oscar show for 2021, which leaves me to thank, first of all, you guys. So thank you, Graham, still the best to do it, for another excellent year of big interviews. And if we can revisit one of our categories from part one, I think, Graham, you and I know that in reality, the best piece of recruitment this year was the acquisition of the big interview and bringing Pete Jensen on board. So thank you, Pete, for being a part of these Q&As this year.
Decent free transfer. You can pick it up, can't you?
Yeah. I got a lot of messages from socios and friends or acquaintances who aren't socios saying exactly that. The amount of feedback I get about, some of which is pointedly about my Isthmian League performance compared to Pete's Champions League performance. And I don't take umbrage at that because that's where the archers live. So overall, that category should have been first. It's like working with Messi. You're right. Anybody that can reach your level, Neil and Martin, and then soar above us all, is a welcome addition to the team.
And thanks also, of course, to the socios who didn't just send in the nominations for this show, but have been contributing to the Q&As and to the interviews that Graham does with footballers throughout the season. So thanks, guys, at patreon.com/GrahamHunter. And thank all of you, socios or otherwise, for listening to our podcast throughout 2021, all of us here. Wish you and yours nothing but the very best in the new year, and we will see you in 2022.
Do it to them before they do it to you.
Feliz año.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere.
ACAST.com.